6. "When are you going to tell us what you do know?" Eddie asked the next morning. The day was bright and blue, but there was a bite in the air. Their first autumn in this world was almost upon them. Roland glanced at him. "What do you mean?" "I'd like to hear your whole story, from beginning to end, starting with Gilead. How you grew up there and what happened to end it all. I want to know how you found out about the Dark Tower and why you started chasing after it in the first place. I want to know about your first bunch of friends, too, and what happened to them." Roland removed his hat, armed sweat from his brow, then replaced it. "You have the right to know all those things, I suppose, and I'll tell them to you, but not now. It's a very long story. I never expected to tell it to anyone, and I'll only tell it once."
"When?"
Eddie persisted. "When the time is right," Roland said, and with that they had to be content. 7. Roland came awake the moment before Jake began to shake him. He sat up and looked around, but Eddie and Susanna were still fast asleep, and in the first faint light of morning he could see nothing amiss. "What is it?" he asked Jake in a low voice.
"I don't know. Fighting, maybe. Come and listen."
Roland threw his blanket aside and followed Jake out to the road. He reckoned they were now only 3 days' walk from the place where the Send passed in front of the city, and the bridge, built squarely along the path of the beam, dominated the horizon. Its pronounced tilt was more clearly visible than ever, and he could see at least a dozen gaps where overstressed cables had snapped like the strings of a lyre. Tonight the wind blew directly into their faces as they looked toward the city, and the sounds it carried to them were faint but clear.
"Is it fighting?"
Jake asked. Roland nodded and held a finger to his lips. He heard faint shouts, a crash that sounded like some huge object falling, and, of course, the drums. Now there was another crash, this one more musical, the sound of breaking glass.
"Jeepers,"
Jake whispered and moved closer to the gunslinger. Then came the sounds which Roland had hoped not to hear, a fast, sandy rattle of small arms fire, followed by a loud, hollow bang, clearly an explosion of some kind. It rolled across the flatlands toward them like an invisible bowling ball. After that, the shouts, thuds, and sounds of breakage quickly sank below the level of the drums, and when the drums quit a few minutes later with their usual unsettling suddenness, the city was silent again. But now that silence had an unpleasant waiting quality. Roland put an arm around Jake's shoulders. "Still not too late to detour around," he said. Jake glanced up at him.
"We can't."
"Because of the train?" Jake nodded and sing-songed,
"Blaine is a pain, but we have to take the train. And the city's the only place where we can get on."
Roland looked thoughtfully at Jake. "Why do you say we have to? Is it Ka?" "Because, Jake, you have to understand that you don't know much about Ka yet. It's the sort of subject men study all their lives."
"I don't know if it's Ka or not. But I do know that we can't go into the wastelands unless we're protected, and that means Blaine. Without him, we'll die, like those bees we saw are going to die when winter comes. We have to be protected, because the wastelands are poison."
"How do you know these things?"
"I don't know," Jake said, almost angrily. "I just do."
"All right," Roland said mildly. He looked toward Lud again. "But we'll have to be damned careful. It's unlucky that they still have gunpowder. If they have that, they may have things that are even more powerful. I doubt if they know how to use them, but that only increases the danger. They could get excited and blow us all to hell."
"Hell,"
a grave voice said from behind them. They glanced around and saw Oi sitting by the side of the road watching them.